Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, finally, in our examination of Romans 8, 29 and 30, we have come to the concept of foreknowledge. The very first verb in the five links in the golden chain of salvation, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated, and whom he predestinated, them he also called, and those whom he called, them he also justified, and those whom he justified, them he also glorified. Foreknew, predestinate, called, justified, glorified are the five verbs in the golden chain of salvation. The very first one is foreknew. And that, therefore, becomes exceedingly important because if foreknew simply means to know something ahead of time, it is like God's omniscience, he knows things ahead of time, and doesn't necessarily have the idea of determining ahead of time, then the other words are not all that critically important, and even predestinate, if it's based upon something that God knew ahead of time about certain people, certain individuals, that distinguished them from other individuals, not because God himself made the distinction, but because something in them made the difference. In other words, if God knew ahead of time who would believe, given the opportunity, as opposed to those who would reject the gospel, given the same opportunity, if God just simply knew ahead of time who would believe and who would refuse to believe, given the same opportunity, and God therefore predestinated in eternity past those whom he foreknew would choose him if they could, then, of course, predestination really doesn't mean that God determined anything ahead of time, does it? So in some ways, this whole text and the understanding of it hinges upon a correct understanding of this verb foreknow. And so let's look at that one. That's what we're going to talk about on the broadcast today. And you need to understand that historically, Catholics, Methodists, various other Arminians, and even most Lutherans, though not Martin Luther himself, but many of them answer the question, what does foreknow mean, to mean God foresaw man's faith. And he chose on the basis of what he saw in advance. God, who knows the end from the beginning, looked ahead and saw what would be in the heart of each man even before they were born. And on the basis of that knowledge, that pre-knowledge, that pre-science, that foreknowledge, God made his choice. In this view, God does not bestow faith. Faith is something that man has innately within himself. It's something that man produces that is somehow connected with his own will. And God, therefore, doesn't produce salvation. God doesn't produce faith. God doesn't grant faith. God simply recognizes the faith that is there. God rewards the faith that is there. God sees the faith that is there, and God rewards man's faith, and therefore, ultimately, man's salvation is the reward for the faith which he produced. That's one view. But there is another line of understanding, and Calvinists and those of Reformed doctrine answer it very differently. And they would say, and I happen to be in this category, in case you haven't figured that out yet, I don't think I probably need to tell you that, but they will say that God's foreknowledge is not reactive, but active. God isn't reacting to something that he sees in man, but God's foreknowledge is actively causing things to happen in men. God's foreknowledge does not respond to foreseen faith, but rather takes the first initiative in a series of divine actions that bring individuals chosen by God to full and final salvation. And this is, by the way, the fundamental, though often in our day little known, main issue of the Protestant Reformation, the nature of saving faith. Is it primarily something that man has within himself? Does man truly have a free will, and is faith connected with man's will and resides innately within him, or is man's will determined by his desires, and are his desires sinful and dead to spiritual things until God takes the initiative and makes him alive? And therefore, who is responsible for faith? Is man responsible for his own faith, or must God produce that faith within him before he is able to exercise it to the saving of his soul, to the justifying of himself before God? And so this understanding of foreknowledge requires constant emphasis, or it is easily lost, as we can see. And so going clear back to, historically, back to the days of Augustine, who is considered to be a father in the Catholic faith, the Roman Catholic faith. Nevertheless, in his day, he was a strong proponent of foreknowledge, not based upon man's foreseen faith, but based rather upon the initiative and action of God alone, a predestination that is entirely the choice of God. And even historically, there, as I've already pointed out, is a difference between Luther and most modern-day Lutherans on this matter. Melanchthon, who followed Luther, tended to take the Lutheran doctrine away from that which Martin Luther taught, and he took it in this direction that we would probably call today Arminianism, though it actually predated Arminius and the historic event that brought about the Remonstrance, and I'm getting into more history here than I want to. But nevertheless, we need to understand that historically, all of the Reformed denominations take the view that foreknowledge is God's sole activity. It is not his response. It is not his reaction. It is his action, his taking action. And likewise, particular Baptists versus general Baptists. The particular Baptists believe in the Calvinistic view of things. The general Baptists believe in the Arminian view of things. Historically, Presbyterians have believed the Calvinist view of this, though many modern Presbyterians do not. But historically, that is exactly what Presbyterians have always believed. That is what made Presbyterians Presbyterians. And if you look at the Westminster Confession of Faith, which has historically been the creed, the doctrinal foundation for Presbyterianism, you will find that it has a strong view of foreknowledge and predestination that is entirely the work of God without any consideration of what man does or man is or man thinks or anything of that variety. And unknown to many people, even Southern Baptists in the beginning, in the early days, also took this view, and that can be documented very, very easily, very successfully, though I don't have time to do that on this broadcast. Though around the turn of the 20th century, that perspective began to fade until eventually general Baptists overran particular Baptists among Southern Baptists. But that is the truth. Historically, this has really been the majority view, though today it is the minority view. But the question is not really who believes it, how many people believe this, how many people believe that. We're going to go by majority vote here. And the majority of Christians believe that God's foreknowledge is foreseeing who would believe, and therefore will take that position, as opposed to the minority who believe that it is God taking the initiative of who he will choose to effectually call to faith. But the important question is not what do the majority of Christians believe, but what does the Bible teach? And so, with that in mind, we will begin to study this word foreknowledge. And we realize that the word, the Greek word, is prognosis. That sounds like an English word, doesn't it? And it is. We've taken it over into the English. And we talk about prognosis, and we know what that is. That's knowing ahead of time, and that's the Greek word. Prognosis is the noun. Prognosko is the verb. And it is used of prescience, of prevision, of foresight, of cognition, to know ahead of time. And it is used that way in the Bible, even in Acts 26:5 and 2 Peter 3:17. But it is also used of divine determination. Not just simply knowing something ahead of time, but determining something ahead of time. In fact, when it is used of God, I think we could say that it is always used of divine determination, not simply prescience, prevision. Now let me give you some texts where it is used of divine determination. Acts 2:23 on the day of Pentecost. And we read this. Peter said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, whom God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Him being delivered, obviously delivered up to the Roman court, delivered up to the crucifiers, delivered up to those who would put him to death. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Question. When it says that Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, is that saying that God just knew what men would do ahead of time? Or does that mean that God determined ahead of time what men would do? Here it's very obvious. It is the latter. Because it actually couples together two things, not just foreknowledge, but him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. And when you put it that way, there can be no question about it. God purposed ahead of time that this is what he would do. God purposed ahead of time that he would deliver up Jesus into the hands of his crucifiers. God didn't just look down through the corridors of time and say, "You know what? If I send my son into the world, I can see that there are wicked men who will crucify him, and I've got to decide whether I'm going to send him down there or not, because I can see, I can read ahead of time what's going to happen to him." Well, it certainly is more than that. God purposed that he must die. That was his whole reason for coming. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God didn't just look into a crystal ball and see the future and say, "Uh-oh, that's what's going to happen if I send him down there." God determined ahead of time that this is what would happen, that what he designed to happen, what must happen. And that's the way foreknowledge is used in this text. We'll have to take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.